Professor Tigan called me with a very hoarse voice this morning and asked that I fill in for him. Our text for today is not then the one printed in your bulletin. It is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the 21st verse. And Paul writes, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Not long ago, I was sitting in church a few rows behind one of my good friends, and it just so happened that his grandsons were right in front of me in the pew ahead of me. And I couldn't help but noticing the great similarities between the backs of their heads, even though they were generations apart. It's interesting how various family features often get passed on. People have maybe said to you, "You look so much like your mom or your dad." Sometimes even a cough or a sneeze or a laugh can even sound like one of our relatives, just because we are physiologically designed that way inside. It's really a fascinating thing. St. Paul describes for us in our text today certain family features that have been passed on to us all the way back to our first parent, our first father, and that of Adam. And there are signs in our lives today that we are in his family tree. There are certain traits in us and things that can be seen in us and in our bodies that connect us back to that family tree of Adam. I'll just list a few off. Fevers, headaches, wrinkles, graying hair. Maybe not in some of you yet, but it's coming, trust me. An aching back, sore knees, cold sores, toothaches, warts, the needs for glasses, hearing aids, the need for braces, diabetes, fatigue, insomnia, the common cold, lust, jealousy, envy, self-pride, self-centeredness. These are the traits that we can see in ourselves that demonstrate to us that we are in the family tree of Adam. Paul says it this way, "By one man sin came into the world, and death through sin, and death passed to all men because all have sinned." And so that's the natural part of being in the family tree of Adam, is death. It took the life of your great-great-great-grandfather and of your great-great-grandfather and of your great-grandfather and of your grandfather someday if it hasn't already and of your father someday as well, and ultimately it will reach you. This is the spiritual DNA of death that has been passed on to us. It is reality. It's not a myth. It's not just some theory. It's reality. It's what we have to deal with in this life. We are Adam's children. This is the family tree that we've been born into by nature. And we can try to deny it about ourselves, but it still is true. If you've ever seen a tree that has bark on it that actually looks okay, but if you get up and pull the bark apart, you'll see that the tree is rotting underneath and little bugs and insects are eating away at that tree. That's kind of how our bodies are and our life in this world can be. It looks so alive. It looks so vibrant. It looks like there's so much going on. And yet beneath the surface inside of all of us, we carry this death with us. And it's just reality. It's the reality of living in a fallen world. And we can try to deny it all we want, but it will ultimately take us in this life. Think of all the things in this world that we can try to use our lives to chase after and to go after and to put our focus and attention into. Think of the families right now down south who have just been devastated by these tornadoes and storms. All the things and all the junk in life that we can just make into our gods and think are so important, and all the stuff that can consume us and drive us and motivate us. And yet it just ends up in rubble. 30 seconds and it's gone. Even lives are just taken away and gone. That's the harsh reality of this family tree that we're connected to from Adam. thank God that he has been so kind and gracious to his very fallen world that he has elected to plant another tree, to plant a second tree through the incarnation of his Son, through his own Son coming into the world and taking on human flesh and working out the process of our salvation to save us from this world of misery, death, and destruction. Through the work of Christ, he has come to do this. And he did it in real time with real blood, real flesh, real wood, real nails, a real grave, real stone, a real Roman ruler that sat over his trial. All of this was done not just theoretically or mythically, but in reality, because you and I needed a real Savior from the reality of our condition. And God now has been so kind and generous toward you and me that he has graciously taken us and broken us off of that, as a branch, off of that dead tree of Adam, and has graciously now, miraculously grafted us into this living tree of Christ through the waters of holy baptism, by which you were made a child of God, and through the power of his word where he worked in your heart to cause you to see your sin and to now cling to Christ and his forgiveness and the wonderful hope of heaven that he has come to win for you, you now have the very life from this second tree flowing through your veins as well. God now has resurrected you spiritually and will someday resurrect your body physically because of your connection to Christ. Paul says it in the same way that an orchard grower can go out in the springtime to look at his trees, to see and to tell whether the tree is alive and healthy. That first apple that comes out is a beautiful indication that he's going to have a crop coming. The same is true for those who now who cling to Christ by faith. The fact that Christ has risen from the dead is the first apple on this living tree. His resurrection is the proof of your resurrection. The only difference between Christ's glorious resurrection from his grave and yours is time. Yours will just happen at a later time. But by faith in him, you are now grafted into him and connected to that amazing, powerful life that God has granted us. You can go online and look for a custom coffin today and pick out the kind of coffin you'd like to have made. It might cost you a little bit of money, but you can get some pretty awesome coffins. I found one online that is a Kiss coffin, if you're a fan of the rock band Kiss. And even before you die, you can take that coffin and fill it with beer and ice and use it at your parties. One guy has had a coffin made so that it has a glass top, and he's using it right now as a coffee table until he dies. Another person had a Coke bottle coffin made because they just love Coke so much. You know, that's about as good as you finally get from this dying world. A really cool coffin. That's about all we get. That's all we have. That's all this world has to offer us. May God continue to grant us the gift of faith to cling to the one and only truly living eternal thing. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. Today we replace the collect you see in the bulletin with a number of prayer requests. Today we pray on behalf of Linda Henkel, the mother of Corey Henkel. She is hospitalized in Rockford, Illinois, and in a coma due to complications with diabetes. And Phil Wells from our campus, who is requesting a prayer of thanks, recovering from a serious car accident, and also for those who are recovering from the recent storms. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in the midst of life, we are in death. Yet through the work of your victorious Son, you have given us hope, comfort, and the promise of eternal life. We thank you for sparing the life of your child, Philip Wells, and pray that you will now bring healing to his body, if it is your will. We also approach you on behalf of Linda Henkel, committing her cause into your gracious hands. If it is your will, restore her, but above all, keep her in your grace and give comfort to her family by your word. We also pray today for those who are now suffering from the tragic storms which have ravaged our nation. Teach all of us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom through your word, which directs us to Christ, our one and only hope of salvation, in whose name we bring our petitions. Amen.